So despite all these physiological and engineering hurdles, the major takeaway from the paper is that these recirculating systems are still achieving feed conversion efficiencies 11% better than traditional methods.
Yes, the efficiency gains at that commercial scale are undeniable, provided the engineering matches the biological reality of the seawater environment.
Welcome to the Aquaculture Podcast Show, the first AI-based podcast in aquaculture, where you'll find cutting-edge insights in everything that's working in aquaculture, nutrition, health, and production.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Revenue grew, so did your hours. The owner's box, buy back 20 a week. Stop hiring for problems automation can solve. Start with Elevate Agents. Don't hire another VA stuck in 2015. Hire a remote AI specialist from Latin who runs AI tools, works in your time zone, and helps your team move faster. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io. Zentrix Insights. The right person in the right seat starts with knowing how your team is actually wired. Visit ZentrixInsights.com. Zentrix OS, the business operating system built for teams who are serious about goals, tasks, and measurable results. One platform to run your entire operation.
Welcome to today's deep dive. You know, usually scaling agricultural production is just a simple equation of surface area.
Right? You want more yield. Well, you buy more land.
Exactly. But for Atlantic salmon, post-smolt grow out in seawater recirculating aquaculture systems, that linear expansion model just kind of falls completely apart.
It really does.
So our mission today is to unpack the very specific technical and physiological challenges of scaling these closed operations. We are diving into the 2025 study assessing the benefits and challenges of recirculating aquaculture systems for Atlantic salmon production by Brown, Wilson, and Tyler.
And it is such a critical paper. I mean, scaling these entirely land-based operations is the future of high-yield global protein production.
Absolutely.
But optimizing that intersection of water chemistry and salmon physiology, it requires some razor-sharp engineering.
Yeah.
Your ag business didn't stall on the market. It stalled because everything roots through you. Pricing, hiring, the angry account. You're not leading the company. You're refereeing it. The Owner's Box is a peer group of 8 to 10 agribusiness owners with one agenda. Get you out of daily operations and into the owner's seat. Monthly working sessions, real decisions, real commitments. Built by Wisenetics, the number one podcast network in animal protein. Apply for Cohort 1 at the Owner's Box. Seats close when the room is full.
And we start with the immediate environmental hurdles. Scaling these seawater systems isn't just about like taking freshwater infrastructure and moving it to the coast.
No, definitely not. The physical properties of the water fundamentally shift the moment you introduce high salinity.
Right.
It completely redefines the environmental parameters you have to control.
Yeah, I noticed Brown, Wilson, and Tyler highlighted carbon dioxide stripping as a major engineering hurdle here.
Yeah.
Which initially confused me a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because in freshwater systems, carbon dioxide just gases out with standard aeration.
Mm-hmm.
Why does a saline environment suddenly make this a massive energy sink?
Well, in seawater, the carbon dioxide doesn't just sit freely in the water column waiting to bubble out.
Okay.
It actually chemically binds with the dissolved salts, forming this really stubborn carbonate pool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so to physically break those bonds and strip the carbon dioxide out of the system, you have to violently aerate the water.
Which requires massive amounts of energy. I mean, it's like trying to run an air conditioner in a sealed room while someone is actively pumping in heat.
That is a perfect way to describe it.
The energy math simply doesn't work out if you are pushing high stocking densities.
Yeah.
And it's not just respiration either.
No, the authors point out that ammonia removal gets easily overwhelmed under these same conditions, too.
Right, via the nitrifying biofilters.
Exactly. The nitrifying microorganisms within those biofilters operate far less efficiently in high salinity, especially when you have high-density commercial loads.
So if you don't aggressively manage that aeration and filtration balance, you lose optimal water quality immediately.
Right, which instantly limits the somatic growth of the biomass.
So even if you manage that energy-intensive tightrope of water quality, that delicate chemistry directly threatens the biological performance of the salmon.
Yes, because the big fear here is unwanted developmental shifts.
Specifically, early maturation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Maturation is a massive production loss. It drastically depletes the lipid content we rely on for premium harvest quality right alongside suppressing immune function.
And the standard approach to preventing it involves exacting control over photoperiods and temperature.
Right, but operators find themselves in a bit of a paradox there.
Oh, so?
Well, keeping the water warm maximizes feeding behavior and growth velocity, but that same warmth is a primary trigger for premature gonadal development.
Wait, but if you just drop the temperature to suppress that maturation cue, aren't you artificially handicapping the incredible feed conversion efficiencies that make these closed systems so profitable to begin with?
You absolutely are.
I mean, if you're investing in one of these facilities, destroying your fast growth profit margin seems like a non-starter.
That is the exact tension keeping production managers awake at night. Lowering the temperature slows the metabolic rate and somatic growth.
So the sweet spot is incredibly thin.
Extremely thin. You are constantly balancing maximum growth velocity against inadvertently signaling the fish to divert all that expensive feed energy into reproduction rather than muscle mass.
Wow. And assuming you perfectly nail that temperature balance and get the fish to harvest weight, you suddenly hit another wall.
Oh, yeah, the filtration units themselves.
Right. Taste-tainting compounds build up in the water because of the specific microorganisms thriving in the biological filters.
And the traditional fix for those off flavors is purging the fish in separate flow-through tanks.
While keeping them entirely off feed.
Right.
Which Brown, Wilson, and Tyler note causes up to a 15% loss in premium biomass and lipid content.
It is staggering.
It's essentially forcing peak athletes to fast right before they run a marathon. Are the continuous electrooxidation processes the authors discuss finally the silver bullet for this?
They show incredible promise for the industry. By directly oxidizing those off-flavor compounds continuously within the recirculating water, you completely eliminate the need to halt feeding.
That is huge.
Yeah.
So the salmon maintain their growth trajectory right up to the moment of harvest.
Exactly. Fully preserving that highly valuable biomass.
So despite all these physiological and engineering hurdles, the major takeaway from the paper is that these recirculating systems are still achieving feed conversion efficiencies 11% better than traditional methods.
Yes. The efficiency gains at that commercial scale are undeniable, provided the engineering matches the biological reality of the seawater environment.
Still delegating work to someone who hasn't adapted to AI? You don't need another assistant stuck in 2015. You need a remote AI specialist who can handle inboxes, research, reporting, ops, admin, sales support, and marketing using tools like ChatGPT, Claude, OpenClaw, and automations. Wise VAs connects you with AI-trained Latin talent in your time zone at up to 80% less than a U.S. AI hire. Schedule your free strategy call at www.wisevas.io.
Which leaves you, our listeners, with a final thought to mull over. You know, current commercial salmon strains were selectively bred specifically for legacy open water environments.
Right. They weren't made for this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we begin utilizing advanced genetics to develop strains exclusively designed to thrive under the unique pressures of closed recirculating systems.
Strains engineered to resist early maturation or ignore off-flavor compounds.
Right. What new biological limits could we shatter? We might be looking at a completely different production paradigm.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow the Aquaculture Podcast Show on your favorite platform. And don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook to stay updated on the latest episodes and industry insights. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.